Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Today we want to talk about serve, and it's the last verb on our list, and we went through the list of verbs. We dealt with follow, and then we went to discover, and then we went to connect and invite, and then last week Cheryl did give, and this week we're going to do serve. But invite, let me just say with invite, please, invite people for Easter. People want to go to church. You know, people want to, and there's a lot of people wondering why their friends who go to church aren't asking them to go. Like, and if you're embarrassed about bringing people to this church, find a church where you won't be embarrassed. Because you should be so excited about where you worship God that you think everybody should be there. You really should. And you should be thrilled about being in the presence of God. When we talked about invite, we talked about the fact that Andrew, when he found Jesus, he went and got his brother. He said, "I found the Messiah." And he said, "Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus." So prophesy, let it out of your mouth. Just say, "Be reconciled to God." It's a big prophetic word. Cheryl talked about give. Says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. And those who help others are helped." So that's good, isn't it? So I'm telling you, you can expect help to come your way because God's word, it's a promise. It's his word. He watches over it to perform it. It will never fail in your life. So thank you, Father, for blessing us to give. So serve. Exodus 31, back a couple chapters. You see Exodus 31, 2 and 3 is where it says, "See, I have called Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and all manner of workmanship." That right there, that's the very first time echoed again in chapter 35, but that was the first time that phrase "filled with the Spirit of God" is found in the Bible. And what's amazing is "filled with the Spirit of God" wasn't like some big ministry role. It was for somebody who was going to build the dwelling place of God. It was for somebody that was going to be an artist. It was for somebody that was going to be creative and use, you know, hands-on talents and skills to establish and build a dwelling place for God. That's the first person by name was called out by name and filled with the Spirit of God to be a blessing, to be a teacher, to be anointed to do these things, but also to train others to do those kind of ministries. That was good stuff right there. So the Spirit of God building the house of God. All right, Bezalel, his name, it's from three Hebrew syllables. It's B, Zal, and El. El is the name of God, one of the holiest revered names of God. But his name is Bezalel. And his name means God. It means in and shadow and God. So it's somebody who was in the shadow of God. First person saturated with that, but he was in the shadow of God. And this person was anointed by the Spirit to build the house of God. So listen, who builds the house of God? The Spirit of God builds the house of God. The Spirit of God is looking for partnership, but it's the Spirit of God that enables, empowers, equips, gives wisdom, revelation, and all those things. The house is built by the Spirit of God in partnership with willing people, but it's the Spirit of God that builds the house. It's not by might or by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And everything that's done must be done by the Spirit of God. So in Exodus 35 that we just read, it says, "In him Aholiab, a son of Amishrach of the tribe of Dan, he filled with skill to do all manner of work." His name is a compound word which means father's tent. I think it's really interesting that a guy that's name means in the shadow of God and another guy means father's tent. Somebody under the power of God, father's tent. These two people came together under the shadow of God, father's tent. I think it's just, I just like to look at names and see what they mean just for fun. But I think it's amazing. Here's a guy who's saturated with the Spirit of God and he's partnering with a guy named father's tent. So they're filled with the Spirit of God to build Father's tent. I just think that's awesome. filled with, it's not an accident. It's amazing how God does that. So these two craftsmen, they fashioned the individual items and trained others to do the work with them. But it was Moses who assembled all the parts to make the tabernacle. So they were gifted in their various ways and they all contributed to it. But it was ultimately Moses was the one who put everything and established everything and fit everything in its proper place, while everyone else did specific tasks and specific work. I think that's pretty interesting. I do. Exodus 40, verse 32, it says, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, everywhere, if you underline as the Lord commanded Moses all through Exodus, you would be underlining that phrase often. Over and over and over again, you'd be underlining the phrase, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. They built, they designed, they did everything as the Lord commanded. And when you do everything as the Lord commanded, you're going to get godly results and you're going to get things that God desires. But then it came right to the end. And when it was finished, it says, so Moses finished the work, all of it as the Lord commanded. He finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Nobody could even enter in. It was so intense. The presence of God just... And God said, this is my home. Fire, the whole shebang. And you see, when fire is manifest in the word of God, it's a designation that I've moved in. This is my new dwelling place. That's why fire came at Pentecost, because God was again saying, I've moved again. I moved from the temple. I moved from the tabernacle in the wilderness. I moved to the temple, fire again. And now I'm moving to my resting place, the people of God. That's why fire fell on the temple again. So God, fire comes, powerful things come when God says, I'm moving in. And that's why Pentecost was such a violent wind from heaven with fire on their heads and a big manifestation. God was announcing, I'm home. I'm back. I'm in my people. And I'm going to fill the earth with my glory. That's what it's all about. But you see in this that you got gifted people, and it's interesting that there were two gifted people who were not just empowered by the Spirit, but empowered by the Spirit to gift and to minister, to impart to, and to train and release people in ministry. And that's interesting. And Moses was a manifestation of the one who had the blueprint, and he was building because he had the blueprint to build. Let me give you another slide. Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus is building his church right now. He has the blueprint from the Father. He knows what he's building and he's building his church. And the church is going to be so powerful. It's going to increase and it's going to fill the earth with the glory of God. And the enemy won't be able to withstand the forceful advance of the body of Christ. It's so exciting. And you see in the Old Testament all these patterns and all these types. But this is, if you do it and you build it as the Lord commands, you'll have the glory. If you do it and you lay things out and you respond as the Lord commands, when you honor his patterns and you honor those processes, you're going to get the glory of God. Thank you, Pastor. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So you see in the new covenant, it's not stones and jewels and all of those things are beautiful pictures of salvation. All that they did were beautiful pictures of the cross, of the sacrifice of Jesus. Everything that they built, it all spoke, it all pointed to Jesus. The living way, Jesus. And then it all pointed to the fact that now Jesus was going to build a dwelling place for God. Not a dwelling place made of stone or bricks, but a dwelling place made of living stones, a people, a group that he could fill the earth now. Not a place, a location for God's glory, but living, breathing, mobile tabernacles of his presence that could go mobile throughout the earth with the presence of God manifesting his kingdom, his reign, and his rule. They had a mobile tabernacle, but they had to carry it around the wilderness. Now you, it's not something outside of you where you go to worship. You are a container. You are flooded and filled. You are the dwelling place of God. The location of God is slap your belly. It's right here. I am a living, breathing conduit. I am a franchise of the Holy Ghost delivering spiritual favors every day. You go to McDonald's, you can get a Big Mac. You come to me, you can get a Big Whack. Whack of the Holy Ghost. All right, I got to move on. Okay, Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Interesting, two people there. Two groups, two people equipped to train. What? This is the word of God, folks. It's the Bible. It's the New Testament. It's the revelation. It's the CAT scan of the purposes of God revealed to us by revelation by the apostle Paul, who was lifted up into the very presence of God to give us this revelation. And if you do it as the Lord commanded, you'll get the Lord's results. Built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, but Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the building being fitted together grows, in whom the building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. What are you doing? Well, I'm just attending church, you know, plunking the bucket somewhere, got to go to church somewhere, so I decided to come here. I love what Donovan said. Donovan didn't say, you don't choose a church. The church chooses you. You think you chose to come here. You think you were, what are my options? You don't have an option. God sets you in the body of Christ. Living stones being set and fashioned together to be a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, Now concerning spiritual gifts. If you have an authorized version, a King James version, you'll see the gifts is in italics. Why is it in italics? Because it's not in the original text. The word there is pneumaticos. Pneumaticos is spirituals or spiritual things. I don't want you ignorant of the spirituals. I don't want you ignorant of spiritual things. And then he goes on to talk about the Father gives gifts. Jesus gave gifts and the Holy Spirit gave gifts. And then he explained the Holy Spirit gifts. But he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about pneumaticos. He's talking about how the Spirit of God moves and what he does. And be aware of how the Lord is commanding us together today to move as the body of Christ. Don't be ignorant about your role in the body of Christ and how it functions. Don't be ignorant of your role in the body of Christ, and don't be ignorant of how the body of Christ functions. It's not something we got together, built a constitution, wrote it out, we all voted and said, amen, we like that constitution. That's not how it works. We might do that because we live in a country where the government wants to have a board of directors and voting members and blah, blah, blah. And if you want a charitable status, then you have to do thus and so. But literally, we've developed man-made patterns to try to build his living community. And that's why we got a bunch of political nonsense all over the world in churches and all kinds of stuff, because God himself can't even break in. God wants to come today. How's everybody feel about that? Well, I'm not sure. God who? There's such a political weird spirit in the church, so we got to get rid of that. Anyways, that's another sermon altogether. All right. So Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Amen. I'm free to go anywhere I want to go. If I want to attend here, I will. If I don't, I won't. Don't tell me what to do. I would never tell you what to do. I would never tell you to go to this church. People come to me and say, should I go to your church? I say, I give up. Talk to Jesus. If he tells you to come, you come. If he doesn't, you're free to do whatever else he tells you to do. Because you know what? He sets people in the body of Christ. There's lots of people resisting being set here, and they're supposed to be. But you know what? If I tell you to come, then I got to support that. And I got to do a little dance and a dog and pony show and say, do you still like it here? Because I think I could do better next week. Oh, did you find a pastor who dances better down the road? I could sing. All my hallelujahs belong to you. Was that good enough? Did that help? You know what? I don't need to perform for anybody at all. I just need to let the gift function. And you know what? I'm not worried about, will you please stay? Will you stay in the church, please? I mean, you know, if God put you here, you can't leave. So get over yourself. Amen. Amen. So look, but now God has set. That word means to fix and to establish. How many know I'm reading the Bible? All right. God has set the members, each one of them. Yeah, well, I'm not sure. He made me kind of random. Well, it says, you have liberty. It says, but don't use your liberty, you know, as a way to abuse what God's called you to do. I'm free. Of course you're free. You're free to follow him. You're free to honor him. You're free to do what he told you. You're free from every entanglement that kept you from following him. You're free to honor God now. So for you, brethren, I'm not going to hold the liberty only, have been called liberty, only do not use your liberty as opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Okay, thank you, Lord. I got through that all right. Good, good. Okay, Matthew 4:10. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Everybody say serve. Serve. You got to serve God. You should worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Let me say this. You ready? You serve what you worship. I was so glad to serve the church in Jamaica. I don't worship them, but I love the body of Christ, and I love what he loves, and I love what he's doing. Therefore, it's an honor, it's a joy, and it's a blessing to serve him. Because I love him, and it's so awesome to be able to do that. You see, but you serve what you worship. In White Oaks, we lived in White Oaks when we first moved here, and we had a babysitter, and I had to pay her to go to church because Dylan wouldn't go to anybody but this babysitter we found. Thank God we found somebody, because we couldn't leave him alone with anybody. He just refused to hang out with anybody. But we found this girl, so we paid her to hang out with us. It was awesome. So I paid her to go to church, and people thought, isn't that awesome? The pastor's bringing people to church. I said, I'm paying them, praise Jesus. But so pay somebody to come to church, hey? Come on, throw a few dollars that way. Some guys will come for a good-looking girl, others will come for $100. So anyways, you serve what you worship. But this family had all cold days and everything. I'd see them all huddled at the bus stop getting ready to go places. So I thought, wow, it's really sad that those folks don't have a vehicle and don't have something to drive. And I always see them cold days in the bus and all that. And I'd stop, say, you guys need to ride somewhere. What's going on? And then in the summer, the seasons changed and the warm weather came. And all of a sudden, the garage door went open in their house. And all of a sudden, I saw this Corvette back out. The cover went off, polish came out, it got polished, and then all of a sudden it got put back away and covered up. And I went, oh my God. If I had a Corvette and my wife had to go to the bus stop, she'd kill me. I mean, bud, you got two little girls and you got your wife standing at the bus stop so you can polish a Corvette. You know what? You serve what you worship. I went, that's pretty miserable stuff. So if you're doing that, please stop it. Maybe that was for you. I don't know. But you know, you do. You serve what you worship. All right. So the Pareto principle. The Pareto principle, everybody knows that. And they say that's the way it is. That's life. Get over it, Pastor. 20% of the people are going to do all the work. That's life. It's a principle. I want to blow that principle up. Because I don't like it that 20% of the people do all the work. Do you? You know, 20% of the people do the work. 20% of the people do the giving. 20% of people do everything. The 20% are so grateful that the other 80% is saying, you're doing really good at serving. And they're thrilled with it. But the other 80% got to get with the program. No, I don't want to do that because that's crazy stuff. We want to remove that principle from Impact Church. And because biblically, 100% have to get involved. 100%. 100% have to get involved. Now, if you want to go to a church where you can sit in the balcony and nobody put any pressure on you, be out of the will of God if you must. But in the body of Christ, like if my arm stops working, it's like, what's going on? Oh, my arm decided not to work today, so I'm totally right-handed today. It's taking the day off. Decided to go to the beach. Folks, we got to do this together. This is a team sport. We got to work together. It was fun in Jamaica because I'm like, I got to preach in an hour, and poor Faye has hit herself, and I'm like, Jesus, she didn't hit herself. The floor rose up and hit her. It was the devil, I'm telling you. It was awful. But it's amazing to see how God can take a bad situation and turn it all around. But it was bad. It wasn't good. Like, Faye's not going, gee, that was awesome. No. It was bad, but you know what? It's amazing how people got involved. When a team comes together, it's amazing the grace that can be manifest in a process like that. And then the owner of the hotel got involved and was very, very helpful. But then we found out her husband was just told 10 days ago that he's got stage 4 cancer in his spine. And so she, on the last day, got two cars to pick us up and drive her to her home because she wanted us all to come and her husband pray for her husband. And we're in there praying for her husband. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh, my goodness, honey, did you do that? I went, what happened? She says, he moved his foot. I went, is that a good thing? She said, he hasn't been able to move his foot. He lost all activity in that leg. His foot was moving. They're like, oh. And so we're like, you know, I'm like, wow, what a great opportunity. And we may not have had that invite, but, you know, the floor rose up and hit Faye in the head. It was terrible. But so many other things happen. I mean, Faye's you know, taking care of herself, and then a guy comes in with a machete chop across his neck, and Faye's praying for the guy with the machete chop in the emergency room, you know? Because they didn't have little pods where y'all went to. It was just people sitting all beside each other, all stacked up in a room. So Faye's in there, and who knows? Here's Faye going, the floor might have hit me, but it didn't take me out. So Faye's having a revival in the emergency room. I mean, you know what? Whatever life serves up, you know, turn it back to glory and make an opportunity where, you know, devil, I might have had a fall on my head, but now I'm going to loose the kingdom everywhere this takes me. Anyways, Cheryl's tapping on the clock because they got to move. All right. So we label things. We label things according to the value we have for it. There was a garage sale, and these folks went to this garage sale, and sometimes you find treasures at a garage sale, but these folks went, and they saw this mirror, and they bought it. It was so awesome. They said, how much you want for it? And this couple's like, we got it as a wedding gift, and it's got this ugly kind of aqua blue or green thing around it. We haven't been able to use it or fit it in anywhere. And they went, are you kidding me? So you're going to give this to us for a dollar? They said, yes. They gave them the dollar, and then they pulled the aqua film off. It was a gold plated mirror. And these were like, was that a deal or what happened there, you know? So some people can't see through the aqua film, but Jesus always does. Jesus sees through stuff. He sees what's there. You know, so they were like, wow, still there. Give me another slide. Jesus doesn't see tax collectors, prostitutes, drug addicts, drunks, or losers. Jesus always sees treasure. Treasure. He sees people that are to die for, and he sees through the aqua film. And I said all of that to say this, you are gifted to serve. Every single one of you. Every single one of you are talented and blessed, and every single one of you are blessed and gifted to serve right here at River City.
Gee, Pastor Carl, that's good. if you could just bear with us for about... Touché. Oh, that's good. If you could just bear with us for about 5 or 10 more minutes, it would be very poor of us to talk about serving and encourage you to serve if we didn't give you an opportunity to know what kind of ways and places that you can serve. Because oftentimes people would like to use their gifts, would like to get involved in church, but they don't know how to go about it, and they don't know who to contact or what to do or what's involved. So we have, not really me, but the team, painstakingly this week put together sort of like a job fair. We'll call it our volunteer fair. And so we want you to get involved. And we were in our devotion at staff meeting reading this scripture on Tuesday. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts and we all belong to each other. And so we do. We all belong to each other. And so as we serve each other, like we serve each other. And we're serving ourselves in the long run. And when I think about that Pareto principle, Paul oftentimes, you know, the 80 and the 20, the 20 and the 80, he oftentimes used this analogy, and it was a through line all through scripture, about comparing the church, the body of Christ, to the body, and how we all function together. And I don't know about you, but if my body was only functioning at 20% capacity, no comment, Carl, I would not be standing. I would be incapable of doing anything. And really, as a body of Christ, if we all 100% were serving, imagine what we could accomplish for the kingdom of God. Amen? And we would be running at our optimum, and it would be a glorious thing to observe. Amen? Because there's a lot of really great things that happen when you serve. You know, you open up doors for yourself. You bless other people. It causes you to be happy. It comes back to you. I'll never forget when we first came into ministry, I served tirelessly in children's church. Actually, for 5 years, I don't think I sat in a genuine service because I served in children's church in the morning and the evening, because back then we used to have Sunday night services. And I was grumbling a little bit about that. And then really within a few months, someone came to me and said, you know, we really got this great job opportunity. Actually, it was Paul. He was on the board of directors for the Crisis Pregnancy Center. He says, I think this would be a good job for you. And I said, well, I don't have the skills they're looking for. He says, I think you have the skills. I think you could do it. And, you know, I got that opportunity because someone was observing me serving. And, you know, when you serve others here, I guarantee you doors will open to you that will bless your life. Amen. So we want to just give you a few minutes today. I had more to say, but I don't want to take up your time. We just want to give you a few minutes today. And the benediction today is that you need to go around to all of these little booths that we've set up, and you need to sign your name to something. And even if you are at Impact Church and you serve in a capacity already, I want you to sign up anyways, because we need to really gather together all the people with different skills and put together a really good list so that when something comes up, we know who to call and we know who to that can function in that particular gift. So at the back, you'll see something called guest services. That would include people who work in the guest welcome center, and that would include ushers. And our guest welcome center, they fulfill a really important role for us. They help us connect with the people who are visiting with us for the very, very first time. And ushers do a great job serving the deacons team and everybody. You know, the garbages are emptied, you know, windows are clean, they take up the offering, they take care of the parking. They really serve the body on Sunday morning. We have something called maintenance back there. If you can swing a hammer, you can sign up on that list. Because there are times that we need to do things around the church that I'm sure there's a skill set in the house to do it. And I'd rather use this skill set, allow you an opportunity to connect and serve and bring glory to God, than pay someone outside to do it. You know, when I think about serving, there's huge areas of connection. Caitlin gave her testimony last week at the women's conference, or the week before, and talked about me asking her to just serve in the guest or in the cafe area. And that forced her to get connected with people. Serving helps you connect with people and become a real integral part of the body of Christ. We have kids' church ministry. Now, kids' church ministry takes a little bit more processes for you to get involved, because you have to do a vulnerable sector search and you have to do a little bit more work, because we have a safe place policy where we want to make sure that every child is in a safe environment and that we've done due diligence to make sure that you will not do any harm to our children. Amen. So that takes a little bit. But we want you to fill out applications, and we want you to get involved there. And when I think about kids ministry, they don't do kids ministry because they think they're babysitting your children. They do kids ministry because they love your children and want to serve your children in whatever space they're at right now. Amen? And so it's not a babysitting service. We have a place called special events. We do a lot of special events here, and we need help. There's times that we need tear down and set up and clean up and all of those kinds of things. If you have a pulse, you can serve at a special events. Amen? We have a culinary team, and hopefully you have some knife skills, but if you don't have knife skills, you can help us anyways. But we do have a culinary team, like when we do our Real Women event, when we do Sip Swap Snack, when we do the Christmas banquet. You know, if you got some skills in the kitchen, we need you to help us. You know, I really love doing Christmas banquet, but I don't want to do it on my own anymore. We really need you to support. And Pat does a great job with Real Women, but she does a lot of the work on herself as well. And so we need you to get involved in that. We also have essentials. Those are just different things that happen around the church here that we could use some help. We have media, and Sue has a camera team and a webcast team and PowerPoint team and a lighting team. We need help with sound engineering, and you got to have a good musical ear for that and have really thick skin, because when something blows up here in sound, it's like the whole congregation goes and everybody looks at you. So we need those kind of things. We need people to help with counting, and we need people to help with discipleship, and that's a little bit more by invitation as well, because we need to know who you are, because we're going to give a brand new convert to you, and we need to know that convert's in a good space with you. We have worship team. Worship team is generally by audition and invitation only, because you have to have some musical skill, because two of the things that people love about Impact Church is the word that's preached and worship. And so those are putting our two best feet forward. And we want those things done with excellence, because I think Pastor Carl does an excellent word with preaching. We want to do an excellent word with worship. Amen. And just before I release you all, because you're all going to go sign somewhere, you can sign more than one area. If you're multitasked or multi-gifted, please sign up in several places. We will put you to work. But I just want to say to all the people who serve at Impact Church, those 20% are doing all the work. You're my heroes. Amen. You know, Faye talked about heroes, people who serve, and they make this a good space for you to enjoy the presence of God. God bless all of those who serve, all of our volunteers, from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of Pastor Carl's heart. We appreciate every single thing you do, because you make God's work look glorious, easy, and without a sweat. Amen. So God bless this house. Your benediction today is... Gee, you only gave me like 7 minutes, and you want to take them? Go ahead.
No, I just want to add one other thing, which is you may be in this house and you need help because God's put a ministry in your heart. He's put something on your mind or on your heart, and you need help just getting traction or launching something. We've launched a bunch of ministries here, help people do that as well. So we're here not just to get you to serve, but we're here to serve you to get to where you need to serve. And so we want to do those things as well. So I know there's ministries, there's other things, and we want to see everything that God's poured in your heart come into actualization. But as Cheryl said, the best way that her fullness and full actualization came is she started serving somewhere.
Yeah.
Start doing something.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes people will say, well, I don't know what my gifting is. Well, try a whole bunch of different things. And you'll know what your gifting is when you find joy in doing that and you find energy and all of that kind of stuff, okay? So God bless you all. Pastor Carl and the leadership here appreciate every single one of you. But we want to see a church that's 100% serving and 100% excited about the role they play. So even if you've been here for a few months, there's a lot of entry-level places that you can serve. I encourage you to sign your name somewhere because we want to make use of the gifts and the callings that God's put in your heart. Amen? And that's a whole part of, you know, our verbs. Follow, discover. You'll never discover your gifts if you don't give it a go. And give it a go at serving, amen? You'll be able to connect with people. You'll feel so excited about your church. You want to invite people. And serving and giving of yourselves go hand in hand, amen? So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all those who have served and journeyed with us over the last 26 years and have served this community. And, Father, we just release a spirit of generous serving hearts and bodies in this house today. And I just pray and I'm believing in Jesus' name that every list is filled with names and that we will be able, therefore, to find a place for them to plug in and make use of all their gifts and callings. So I release you now in the name of Jesus. Go sign up. I don't care if you've been here for a few weeks. Go sign up for something and we'll find a way to make you feel a real sense of connection and belonging in this church. Amen. God bless you all.